Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is...
Well, welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. Studio lines 316-869-1330. Want to give you a little tease for next week. We've got a great lineup. Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Business Culture and Tech Watch for the Media Research Center, is going to be with us to discuss Google and the other media outlets and their bias against conservatives. It's pretty obvious for anybody who follows Google and some of the mainstream media, but Media Research Center's done some really amazing research, and he's going to be with us, share some of what they've found. Also joining us next week will be House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins and the president of the Kansas Chamber of Commerce, Alan Kopp. So we've got a pretty good lineup for us next week. With us on the line right now from Topeka is our own Kansas Attorney General, Derek Schmidt. General, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks. How are things in South Central Kansas?
It's nice. We had great weather, and I was able to get out and enjoy it. We took the dog for a walk, so it was good. And I'm trying to think the last time... Last time we talked, we were on a bus, as I recall.
I think that's right. I think it was before Election Day.
That's right. We were on the RV with the GOP Remain Red tour, and I haven't had a chance to congratulate you so congratulations on your reelection, which wasn't hardly in question. I think you won overwhelmingly. We're glad to have you back, but. I appreciate you taking the time. There's been a lot going on, and I've got a few court cases that I know that you've been involved with, but, get right to it if you don't mind. Is there anything in particular? There was one, and I don't know how much this applies, but, the Supreme Court is considering, and we've had other cases involved with these veterans memorials, and I know you recently asked the Supreme Court, you weighed in on that because of the possible implications towards memorials in Kansas. And I saw that article and I thought, that's something that it's people hear these stories about courts in other parts of the country. They don't think it can affect us here, but it's surprising how much they can, can't they?
Well, that's right. We're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court here, and obviously any decision that the U.S. Supreme Court makes is binding in Kansas as it is in the rest of the country, so we always try to keep an eye on the docket, and whenever there's something coming up that we think has a particular interest to Kansas, we try to make sure that, if appropriate, we make the Kansas views known. In this case, this is a case that has gotten a lot of national attention. It's arisen out of Maryland, actually in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., but it's actually in Maryland. There's a monument to soldiers in that area who were killed in the First World War. It has stood there for many, many years. I believe it was built in the 1920s. Originally, it was on private land, and the monument itself is large in stone and in the shape of a cross. There's no way to avoid the fact that the monument is structured as a cross. And that's relevant to this legal challenge because the private land that the monument was on over the years has been acquired for public purpose, and now that monument stands right on a major highway, a major roadway going from Washington, D.C. up into Maryland, and does so on public property. So as sadly often happens in these sorts of cases, a group of folks who do not like the display of the cross and are I would argue, somewhat extreme in their views of separating church and state, really purists on that, have filed a lawsuit, challenged the existence of this cross, the ability of the public entity in Maryland to have it on public land. And unfortunately, the courts below have said that the cross monument's impermissible. And we just think that's legally incorrect. We don't think that the First Amendment requires anybody in the United States to destroy longstanding historical monuments to valor and military service merely because they happen to reflect a traditional Christian symbol. We just don't think that's the law. So we're hopeful we've got it right, and we'll see what the court says. And obviously, kind of, it's a long way of saying, but back to your point, this is the U.S. Supreme Court deciding this. The rule the court adopts will apply throughout the country, including in Kansas. So there are monuments in Kansas that could be affected by the decision. One that we've pointed to is up in Donovan County in the extreme northeast corner of the state, where there's a monument I visited a while back because I wanted to see exactly what it looked like before we filed our brief. It actually technically sits on private land, but it's maintained with public dollars by the local cemetery in Highland. And it has walls of crosses, each bearing the name of a local person killed in combat. So real implications.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that, I mean, I get it. You know, some of the states that want to do, I mean, you've got recently the state of California is considering having, I think it was kindergartners, five-year-olds must now, they want to mandate that the school system teach them the 15 different genders. That's fine. If California wants to teach 15 different genders, that's fine. But it's when stuff like this starts to impact other states, you know, I'm just glad that we have an attorney general that will weigh in and defend our rights, not only as a sovereign state, but, you know, the right. I mean, I think you made the good point there that this, it's not like this is a new piece of new construction. This is something that's been around, and if nothing else, should be grandfathered for its historical equivalence.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, this whole area of the development of constitutional interpretation as it relates to the religion clauses in the First Amendment, it's an area where the court's jurisprudence has really been muddled over the decades. Justice Thomas has been, you know, very critical of the court for declining to accept some of these similar types of cases in recent years because, you know, as he puts it, it's impossible for a legal practitioner advising a client, a local government, a state government, whoever it may be, to look at the state of the case law and figure out where the line is. And so I'm really hopeful the court will give us some clarity on where that line is, and I'm even more hopeful that the current court will draw that line in a way that allows us to preserve these historical monuments that stand for the valor and service of Americans who have fought and died in combat.
So looking at one other before, and we'll have to take a break here in a few, but looking at one other federal U.S. Supreme Court case, I'm curious what your thoughts were on, because I imagine it's going to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. I know it was a circuit court that ruling that found Obamacare unconstitutional. Now, that will, I'm sure, fairly soon, that'll go up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I'm curious what your thoughts are on that and how you think that may progress, and certainly how that affects the possibility of Medicaid expansion in Kansas.
Sure. There actually are two current challenges to different aspects of Obamacare, the ACA, whatever you want to call it, federal health care law, that Kansas is involved in. I've got us involved in two different cases challenging different aspects of that federal law. Both happen to be in courts in Texas. There are multi-state groups in Texas as part of our coalition, and so we said yes when they said let's file this in Texas. The one that's gotten most of the attention, and I think probably is you know, spurred your question, is a challenge that 26 states, including Kansas, have brought. And essentially our argument's this. When the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate as constitutional back in 2012, it said the only constitutional basis for the mandate, the only authority that Congress has to order people to go out in the marketplace and buy a product, in this case an insurance product, was the taxing clause of the Constitution. In other words, you'll remember that infamous case where it was a 5-4 decision with Chief Justice Roberts siding with the four more liberal members of the court. And he said that because essentially the mandate is a tax, it's a way of the federal government collecting money, it's permissible under the tax power. And although we disagreed, that's what the court said. Well, last year, Congress went in and repealed the tax, or technically zeroed it out. The tax is there, but the tax rate is zero. They did not repeal the mandate, and that's a really important point. You know, in shorthand, a lot of commentators, even members of Congress, like to say they repealed the individual mandate. They did not. The mandate is still there. They just charged $0 for defying the mandate. They took the tax rate to zero. And so essentially, it is now, in our view at least, a naked assertion of federal power to compel people to participate in a marketplace, and we don't think the Constitution allows it. So that's the basis of our suit. We filed it in Texas. We have won in the district court. There's some discussion about how this is going to go up because the Trump administration actually agrees with us and so has declined to defend the law. California and a group of states have intervened in the case to defend the federal law, and they are appealing to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. So it's on its way up. That's the bigger Obamacare case. And then we have one other that's pending as well. It's a lot less interesting, but potentially a lot more hard-hitting in Kansas. We've challenged one of the specific taxes that Obamacare enacted. I can give you the details or spare you them, but essentially we argue the way it's been implemented is illegal, and the court agreed with us. The court agreed with us, and the bottom line is it's about $143 million that Kansas alone has paid over a period of years in that tax, and we want our money back. The court below said we ought to get it. We'll see what happens on appeal.
And see, you know, it's because of this kind of stuff that I feel now, I mean, regardless of whether you support or don't support Medicaid expansion, I just think it's irresponsible to try and expand it right now when you've got, you know, so much litigation and the individual mandate being repealed, et cetera. If you'll stick through the break, when we get back, we'll talk. I'd like to hear what you've got planned coming up. Might ask you about any future plans as well. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.